Right. What's up, everybody? We have a little different episode on Spectora Spotlight today. You might recognize this guy and this voice on with me, my brother, co-founder, co-CEO, Mike Wagstaff. What's up, dude?
Hey. Glad to be here.
Special treat every time you get to be on. So we thought it would be helpful and fun to kind of talk about what we're hearing in the industry. There's so much change happening in the economy and the home inspection industry. And so we want to talk about what we're hearing, what we're doing as a company, and talk a little bit about how we approach what we're doing here at Spectora in the industry and a little bit of our backstory. We haven't really told it publicly a ton. And I bet you there's a lot of you listening that maybe don't even know how we started Spectora and some of the origin story.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's such a time of great change in our industry. And I think there's a lot of valid fears and concerns with home inspectors of where it's going, and just so much news to kind of catch up on. Also, the economy, the macro is in a period of flux. And I think that's impacting everybody is thinking about things for this year. And yeah, it just feels like, you know, us having some space to riff on it, see where the episode goes, should be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. So let's hit the easy one, which is the economy first. I think to most of you, if you're tapped into the industry, you watch the news, you understand that mortgage rates are really high right now, and there's not enough homes for sale. So we know that. I think everyone gets that. But Mike, we've been talking to some inspectors that have had record months in January, February. It kind of blew us away, right?
It's so surprising. Yeah, we've been getting on calls and just like reconnecting with longtime users, new users, people that are solo inspectors, people that are the biggest companies in the industry, and just saying, hey, what are you feeling? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? And some folks are like, yeah, I'm up from, you know, last year. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was possible. And then others are like, yeah, I debated if this was the time to close down the business. I've been doing layoffs. And it's disproportionate. It's scattered. It depends on local trends. It depends on so many factors. It's hard to put a finger on the pulse of where things are at.
Yeah. And it kind of follows what I'm sure articles that a lot of us have read, migration to the South, Southeast, Florida. And so there is a geographic slant to it, but also a slant to companies that are innovating and either adding on services, creating other businesses. And so I think there's creativity that's going to be needed this year.
What are some of the coolest things that you recall hearing from some of these conversations lately?
You know, some JT Edgren, amazing guy, IEB member, so even keeled. He, one, has a mold business, an amazing mold business that he set up years ago. So I think he's now like benefiting from having some foresight to saying, I don't want my livelihood and all my people's livelihood to be solely based on transactions. So he markets that separately. He does mold inspection, I believe remediation too. And then he was like, I might think about a housekeeping service, standing that up. And I was like, I haven't heard that a ton. So to me, that's the kind of thinking a lean year kind of like makes us all get creative, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's really cool when, you know, like guys like him, of course, there's some flexibility there when the ability to stand up a new business. Some guys are like, dude, I'm in the field every day. Like, how do I do this? How do I approach this market? And we've talked to guys like that too. And, you know, some of what they're doing is just saying, yeah, I'm covering a broader service area. I'm reconnecting with agents. I'm trying to get more active on social. I'm sending more newsletters. It's a time to kind of double down on the marketing efforts to make sure you stay top of mind, because those agents are not as busy as they used to be in most cases. And so we're seeing that too, of just how do I get more inspections? And then how do I maybe sell a few ancillary services on these same inspections? And that's the name of the game for a lot of the industry.
Huge. And we'll talk a little later about kind of other ways to monetize and increase that average revenue per inspection. But one thing I thought was so interesting, because we've seen solos like cancel in prior months. Last couple months have been brutal for like the new solo, right? Just haven't been getting the jobs. But a big multi said there's been so many guys dropping out of the business in his area that they're scooping up those inspections. And so what does that mean? To me, that means if you can hang in there while these interest rates kind of jump around and bounce around, and what they're going to settle out at some point. If you can hang around and hang in there, I believe there's going to be a lot more inspections per inspector, because nationally there's probably a couple thousand less, right?
Oh yeah. And that's, you know, like from our purview, you know, of course we get to see what's happening across all of North America, essentially. And yeah, during the COVID years, we saw folks getting into this business. It's when inspections were falling from the sky. Very easy, you know, especially in low barriers of entry states. And from like what, September of last year up through, you know, maybe now, but definitely through January, we saw the flush out. We saw all those guys that got in when times were easy, just getting out just as easy. And the cancel reasons that we see pop up on our feed are like, yeah, I'm going back to building houses. Yeah, not getting any more inspections. And so for those that are in this for the long term, it's an opportunity. It's a time to double down and make sure that you're going to be a healthy company on the other side.
Yeah. Touch points, mass emails, in person, social media. We're hearing a lot of guys are finding success on that front. So basically stick with it, get your butt out there, market, get FaceTime, open houses. It really is, I think, a brute force kind of like next 6 months in terms of just getting that FaceTime.
Yeah. And for the companies that are big enough to diversify, I think that's a fascinating idea. You know, we're always kind of wanting to hear how we can support people that are doing that. Is our software usable for different niches? And I think we are seeing that on our platform. Some people are using Spectora for their lawn care service, for their power washing and dryer vent cleaning service. And that's pretty cool. And we've made some modifications to allow for it. It's kind of on a per user basis, but it's stuff that, let us know. It's an open dialogue because we want to be reactive to what all of our users are doing as well.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, on the kind of other part of the industry front, we've been going to more conferences. So as a company, we're going to a ton of conferences this year, doubling down on kind of the in-person element. Do you want to speak a little kind of about our why?
We totally get that this is like a relationship business. And especially in times like these where kind of big money is moving in, acquiring most of our competition, trust is important. And, you know, we're still an independent company. We intend to remain an independent company. You and I own most of this company, and what isn't owned by us is owned by our employees, right? And so because of that, we know, hey, the home inspector pays our bills. And that's just a message that we want to make sure everybody knows. And we want to make sure that we're reinforcing the strength of the relationship with everybody that's using us, that's considering using us. So we're getting to all the conferences, even these small regional ones and state ones that we've traditionally maybe said, hey, I don't know if we should devote the resources to go there. That's what we're doing, is saying, hey, let's get out and talk to inspectors, understand what they're going through as well. Say, hey, we're here as a partner, as an ally to support you.
Yeah. And it's like taking a page out of the IEB book of us getting clear on kind of our like mission values. And we heard from a client one time, they were like, you guys are great and I love you, but like, I don't know where you're going and like, what's your vision? And we're like, oh, that's on us, right? To like talk about this more. And IEB is great at that. And so I think if it's not clear, we want to create the best damn products that make inspectors more money, save them time, and charge a premium price so we can be self-standing and sustainable as a company and keep innovating. And I think keep improving. And I think that's kind of our calling card over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, maybe we should dive into a little bit of just like our backstory, because I think there's gotta be a lot of inspectors that are like, oh man, the software that I use just got acquired by Porch or by an insurance company.
Just and common all, nowadays.
Yeah. It seems to be happening everywhere. And obviously, you know, there's an obvious incentive chain there. They're the primary business for Porch is to get the home buyers, call them apparently a lot and sell them
insurance.
Yeah. Sell them insurance and sell them some of these other services, contractors or whatever. And so, you know, with American Family Insurance acquiring HomeGage, one could say, hey, maybe it's to sell more insurance.
Makes sense.
And that makes sense, right? And if folks say, I'm fine with that, and cool, like no problem there. But we hear daily that people are saying, hey, this worries me. I don't think I feel comfortable with this. I don't want my home buyers accidentally opting into some long terms of service that they didn't read thoroughly. And now they're getting called incessantly to buy something that maybe they don't want, or they don't want to hear about, or they don't want to buy in that fashion. And so they're asking, well, what's Spectora about? What's Spectora going to do? Are you guys going to sell next? And I think it's good to just address these head on and to answer the question. I think it helps to understand like who we are, why we're here, where we came from, why we started the business, And just tell a little bit of that story so that everybody can kind of get to know us. So if you're considering us, hey, do it like with full transparency of who are these guys that are running it and where are they going with it? And where do they see the industry going? Because y'all vote with your dollars. And wherever you put your dollars, that's the way the industry is going to go. So obviously behooves us, but also behooves everybody working in this space to make that decision collectively.
Yeah, because the industry looked drastically different 7 years ago, didn't it? Like, you know, like I think our motivations were like, you know, we had a friend, someone that Mike, you mentored, brought us the idea, but then we were like, there's no SaaS player in this space. There's no one really like seemingly innovating at the time was our kind of thought, right? And we were like, oh, this is a industry that technology and innovation kind of left behind. And that was kind of, it was filling a need. That was the true genesis of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. We knew we wanted to start a business together. We knew that we wanted it to be a niche enough market to where you and I could do it alone without need to worry about investment and big money interest and Silicon Valley thing. Like that's not us, right? Our dad is like a blue collar. He was an aircraft electrician for the Air Force, right? Just like a blue collar dude. He got up, he put his boots on every day. I don't think he took sick days. And that's who he was. And our mom, Filipino immigrant, she knew how to work hard. She struggled with, you know, fighting racism, fighting barriers, having some, you know, like her accent was a little bit funny. And so she fought these struggles, right? And that kind of influenced like who we are. They just taught us, hey, work hard, do right by people, and you'll succeed. And that's who we are. That's at our core. Treat people right and work hard. And so we just wanted to find a small enough space where we can apply that and not play the games of finance and monetizing data. You know, we just are like, let's build a good product. Let's back it up with just amazing, you know, let's support it. Let's just be good human beings to the people that we're doing business with. That's like old school nowadays, right? It's like, let's do old school business of treat people right. And so like that's who we are at the core. And I think it's shown through in kind of our history. I mean, you know, Kevin, you worked hard as a being what 5'10", trying to be a basketball player. And you ended up playing, you know, going to college on a basketball scholarship. You ended up playing pro overseas. You had to outwork people that were, you know, a foot taller and you vying for the same position. And I think that kind of speaks to like the work ethic and how you, you know, go about life.
You know, we thank our parents all the time for teaching us how to believe in ourselves and then wake up every day and do the maybe unsexy but right thing to do. And I think maybe that's why our company does resonate with inspectors, because we are like them more than they think. Because we used to get the question where they're like, why did you get in this industry? You guys seem like you should be like solving the world's problems. And we're like, dude, because we like talking at conferences with people. We like connecting with people that we believe maybe go underappreciated, because in a sense, bootstrapped software companies, I believe, are underappreciated because we didn't raise $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I get headlines.
Yeah. Like I used to have a kind of freelance web development, web design practice, kind of grew it into an agency. And I did work for like these Fortune 100 companies, and it wasn't glam. You know, I write this code, I build this cool stuff, and then I just lob it over the fence. And I have no idea if the people that are using it like it. I have no idea if it's helping improve their lives. Got, you know, decent paychecks, but it didn't satiate that need to feel like I was helping people. And then I became a therapist. I went back to school. I got a master's in counseling psych, and I was a therapist because I wanted to help people. And we started this business as kind of at first we thought it'd be a side hustle, and then we quickly realized, no, this is like the main thing. But it's that union for me of like, I get to build stuff that's hopefully solving problems. And then we get to directly hear from inspectors that are like, wow, I get 2 hours back every night that I get to spend with my kids or my spouse or whatever it is. And that to me is like, this is perfect. We get to build an awesome team, we get to build an awesome product, and we get to interact directly with the people that benefit. So yeah, I love what we're doing, and I couldn't ask for like finding a better space. And I mean, man, we scrapped in those early years to elbow our way into this space, didn't we?
Oh man, I it's like it was yesterday. January, February, March, 2017. The resistance was strong. Got told by so many people, no one would ever use a web-based report. No one's ever going to pay $99 for software every month. But there was always one or two curious inspectors that wanted to try things out, that told us about bugs, that told us features that you should build. And we just stuck around for months and months, and then turned into years, and showed up every day to get 1% better, to make the platform 1% better. And I think this industry values that, of show up, shaking hands, show up every day. And that's kind of like we talked about with our dad, put on the boots every day.
I remember you and I would, you know, an email would come in from like one of our five beta testers, and, you know, they'd talk about some problem, and we'd race to see who could respond fastest to be like, hey, we're looking into this. Let me get back to you in like 5 minutes once I fix it. You know, and I remember just like we worked around the clock. I mean, my wife would bring down food into the basement. It's like, Maya, have you eaten? It's like 2 p.m. and I haven't seen you yet today. You know, we really threw ourselves into the business because we just knew, hey, that's what it takes. That's the kind of hustle it takes for somebody to say, I'm very comfortable with my software and it seems to work. Why would I give something new a try? And we just had to be 10 times better than anything else. And I think that's why we're here in that first year. That's why we got our first 200 customers. Cause we talked to them. I knew, you know, not only their names, but their wife and kids' names and all the issues they're having with the software and what the needs were and where we were going to go from there.
Such a great lesson for anyone. I mean, especially inspectors, when they always think about differentiation, it's like, are you doing things 10x better in any area? Like, why would an agent care about you? And I think we saw that. We knew how entrenched HomeGauge, Home Inspector Pro was, some of these other legacy players. We knew people were entrenched, and we said, like, we got to blow them away for like a year, sometimes two. We've had conversions in the last year or two that knew us since the beginning. Like, some people, that's a 5-year sales funnel, some of these people.
Yeah. I love that underdog mentality, right? Because we were like, okay, we get into the industry thinking, yeah, it's kind of a sleepy industry with some incumbents that are not really innovating. And then suddenly, oh, Porch just bought ISN and everybody's scared of what they're going to do with it. Oh, HomeGauge just got bought by an insurance company, American Family Insurance. And what are they going to do with it? And we realized, like, wow, we are now this like little company that we're funding out of, I was renting out my basement bedrooms to pay the bills so we could like get off the ground, so I didn't have to do a second job or anything. And yeah, we were the underdogs suddenly. We felt like, wow, we're going to have to, that's part of why we had to be 10 times better and work 10 times as hard, is because we were competing suddenly with venture-backed West Coast tech companies and these old school insurance companies that have really deep pockets that only insurance can provide. Right. And so, yeah, we were the underdogs trying to elbow our way into this industry where we didn't know what was going to happen. And we were just like hoping that we could pay ourselves one day, let alone hire somebody to help the two of us out.
I mean, the underdog story is really true now. It sure feels like Porch, because they, you know, look, they bought ISN, Home Inspector Pro, Palm Tech, ACC, RWS. That's the only ones I can remember. So that's like a conglomeration now. You know, they raised $200 million, and we feel like kind of David versus Goliath here, and that we are the underdog, and that we have to do the scrappy things, be innovative, be more agile, because we're smaller, we have less employees, and I think they have like 500 or something employees. So can you talk a little about how we reacted when Porch did buy ISN, and we thought, how do we, one, keep our moat around our support, our products, everything we do well, but also we have to like think of a way to do what they were going to do in an inspector friendly way. Like, how can you tell it? Can you even think back to that like period?
It's tough, but like, you know, to me, it's all about incentive chains, right? Like if the inspectors pay our bills, which they do, like we make our money. If we're constantly earning inspectors' trust and they say, I'm going to keep re-upping on my monthly or annual contract, like that's how we pay our bills. That's how we pay ourselves. That's how our employees get paid. So we don't have to rely on, you know, we're not trying to affect a stock price. We're not trying to, you know, there's not this data play. We're just saying, hey, let's build a good product and let's charge a fair price for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the biggest part of it. It's like, what's our incentive? It's to keep doing right by our inspectors. So, you know, that's in, I think, contrast to our competition. You know, if your Porch stock price is what matters, and then how do you monetize all of these leads? That's that's what matters. That's their incentive. And the inspector, of course, that's like a part of the big play. And for some, they're totally okay with that. And that's totally fine. I mean, it'd be fine for them. I think it commoditizes inspectors and is going to ultimately lead to the diminishment of the industry. I believe that our way is about empowering inspectors. And that's where we said, hey, if this is the future of the industry, which the jury is still out, is the future of home inspection to provide leads for other services and contractors? Our recent surveys say most people don't think that's the case, but there's a growing minority that do. So we want to be prepared for either path. How do we do that? Well, hey, let's give inspectors the upside. If data is going to be sold, if home buyers are going to be a source of leads for home service professionals and for insurance and warranties and smart home tech and all this, let's make sure that the home buyer is, or sorry, that the home inspector is incentivized by it, that they have the upside, that it's their choice and it's a very explicit choice. And then the home buyer also opts into it and that it's their choice and it's a very explicit choice. It gets back to our roots. Let's do right by the people that we're doing business with. Nobody likes feeling bamboozled. Nobody likes getting a dozen phone calls in 1 week and then saying, where did you get my number? And being like, oh, I didn't realize I signed up for this in the terms of service. Nobody reads those things. We all know it. And so that to me is like our response. And that's why we've been gradually building out these partnerships and recommended contractors. And it might not be our primary focus, but it's up there of saying, yeah, if you want to do that, if you do believe that's the future of the industry, let's do it in a way where everybody that we do business with is empowered along the way, that there's choice there, and that it doesn't feel slimy. That's our approach.
Oh, that's so good. So well said. So the term commoditization jumped out because like some people don't even know like what that means or what the implications are. Can you riff on a little bit on like what that would look like if the future did go that way? Because I think that's like a lot of people's worry.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, you know, the most basic definition of a commodity is just like, it's a replaceable thing. There's not any differentiation. And when I think about real estate and how it's been done, it's the opposite. You choose, as a home buyer, you choose a real estate agent because you have a relationship with them, because you trust them, and because you value that they're going to bring something to this process of buying a home and going through the entire kind of under contract phase. You hope that they're going to bring something that's different that you couldn't just do with anybody. And then similarly, I think when you choose a home inspector, it's because you looked at their website, you watched a video of them, you called them on the phone, you talked to them and you said, wow, I trust that this person or this company is going to be reliable, trustworthy, that they're going to bring a level of scrutiny and help me make a better decision when it comes to this whole process, whether it's buy the home or not, or whether it is, hey, how do I make sure I'm not getting taken for a ride? How do I make sure that, hey, if there's some real problems here, I ask for at least some monetary compensation or some fixes beforehand. And to me, yeah, that's the idea, is that there's like differences because people have differing levels of education, certification, experience. Those things matter. And it's not, I don't believe that it should be something where there's just a, hey, click here to book a home inspection, we'll send anybody, whether they just got out of high school, they just got a 2-week certification, or they've been doing this for 30 years, they know homes inside and out, they've built homes, they know every system deeply. Those are very different experiences, and we don't want them boiled down to the same thing because they're being monetized on the back end for the ultimate purpose. If we think the ultimate purpose is just to feed leads to contractors and to insurance companies, then yeah, everybody will be commoditized, experience won't matter, and it's just going to be some people fresh out of high school that just come in, check the boxes, and go. And then all that matters is, can we get a hold of that home buyer and sell them all of this stuff? That's one vision of the future in my mind. The other vision is, I think, continuing for what it's always been, allowing folks to differentiate, allowing folks to say, hey, we invest in good inspectors that have good training, that have good credentials, that know how to talk to people, that know how to talk to agents, and that can create a good service that empowers the home buyer to make better decisions. To me, that's empowering to the home inspection industry. And that's where we all should be talking about, how do we get there to where prices can go up? And not only can prices go up when you differentiate, but if you do choose to sell these services, you get to vet them. You get to feel like I'm recommending contractors that I know and trust. I am recommending products that are vetted and trustworthy, that are best in class. And it drives up the value to everybody, drives up the value to the home buyer, drives up the value to the real estate agent saying, wow, my home buyer is better taken care of. The home inspector does well, can make way more money. This becomes a much more lucrative profession. We as vendors in the space do well because our customers are doing well. That to me is the other way that this could all go. And I think the choice is obvious. And I think inspectors are having a vote with their dollars right now. And, you know, hopefully this isn't over dramatized, but like that's my vision. What do you think?
Man, I agree. And in 1 week, I heard one enterprise level company say, I think home inspection prices are going to zero. The fee home inspectors can charge is going to zero because of the monetization, commoditization. A little dramatic, scary, but some people believe that. A lot of people believe. And that right there would, I believe the money coming in is kind of preying on maybe home inspectors' insecurity in the real estate transaction. Not to get too, you know, deep and into the emotions here, but I believe some inspectors will take that bait if they don't truly feel like there's a ton of value to what they're doing. And I think, and in that same week, I heard at a mastermind conference, the theme of the conference was double your fee in 23. Everyone was pushing each other to like double their home inspection fee. And I think the home inspection is worth $1,000, just like a general, you know, 3-bed, 2-bath residential. It's worth $1,000 of what you learn and benefit from it. You know, if the appraisal is damn near $1,000, it's like, come on, what are we doing here? What kind of value? So I want inspectors to start believing in the value they bring and charging for it, expressing the value. And I think our industry's historically been poor at marketing the value. And I think that kind of is a piece to it. But yeah, I do worry that some inspectors take the bait of free software and then think, oh, I don't really have to charge that much for my inspection because I don't have a ton of costs. That adds to the commoditization. I think that just, that plays into the hands of inspection, like downward pressure on inspection prices. And I don't think that values what our customers do very well. It should be a march upward.
No, totally. Like think about other professions that value what they do and charge for it because they avoid you big costs. I'm thinking about lawyers. They'll charge you $300, $400, $500 an hour because they say, yeah, you're going to avoid a potential, you know, $500,000, $1 million lawsuit by paying $400 an hour now for a few hours. Right. And people pay it. And the legal profession exists basically to prevent these big expenses down the road. Is that different from a home inspector? What massive things can creep up? One of our team members right now going through all of this mold remediation, she's had to tear apart half her house. She's been living with another one of our team members and it's a disaster. And could that have been prevented with a thorough inspection, maybe a more thorough inspection, offering more of these ancillary services, we call them, of yeah. Like, yeah, let's test for mold. Yeah. But it wasn't marketed well. It wasn't, the need wasn't obvious. And there's like this general mentality that it's not valued as much. And yet she's spending tens, if not 100,000 plus right now. And so what a story. How do we move the home inspection industry in that direction of saying, let's value your expertise and your knowledge. And it ain't through commoditization of what we do just so it can feed leads to some parent company.
Yeah. And so I do think there's this like line in the sand and this kind of like unspoken battle. Some people say like, oh, pick a side, pick how you're going to vote with your dollars. But it is kind of true. You said it well, where you have to know the incentives and who's owned by who. And if you're feeding into that, it's contributing, I think, to cheapening our industry, to put it plainly. Where do you want to go from here? What else is interesting to you? We could probably keep talking about this for another 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. Look, here's the thing, you know, if we're talking to existing users and they're saying like, hey, where are you guys going? Like, I just want to reiterate, we are independent, employee owned. We intend to stay that way. Yeah, I mean, maybe at some point there's some desire for us to diversify and get some liquidity, but like, we are going to do it if we do that. it's going to be in a way that's very respectful to the customers that have placed their trust in us all these years. It's going to be respectful to the industry that has been so good to us, that welcomed us in as outsiders 7 years ago and said, hey, we'll give a couple of these, you know, these kids that are just coming in and saying that they're going to help build better home inspection software that don't come from the industry. Like, people gave us a chance. We are grateful and fortunate for that. We're not going to turn our backs on those same people. So if there is anything in the future, just know we're going to do it in a very respectful way and not in a way that commoditizes and cheapens the industry that got us to where we are. Where are we going from here? We can talk about some of the stuff that we're doing within the company, some of the kind of down in the weeds stuff. But I just think overall, as a vision, we're going to continue to say, how do we empower the home inspector? How do we continue to save them time? How do we continue to make them more money? And how do we grow this industry? And yeah, we just, according to a recent study that we commissioned, we are now the top platform for home inspection software. We have more inspectors using us than any other platform. So that gives us some leverage. We can maybe negotiate with, you know, like whether it's big providers, people that need to get 1,000 inspections at once. Can we find ways to do that to where it benefits our user base? Sure. Can we benefit from economies of scale to negotiate, you know, better rates for this or that? Sure. But overall, I think that that's the take home message is like, we intend to lead the charge with where this industry is going. We intend to be the ones that empower the inspector and grow the space overall. And we're going to keep fighting for you guys. You know, we are outsiders. We don't presume to know what's best for your business, but we learn from you and we listen to you. And that's why we have these conversations. That's why Kevin and I are still spending a lot of the last few weeks getting on one-on-one phone calls just to understand where the industry's at, because we're here to serve you. Essentially, we feel like that's that servant leadership to this industry and to our customers. And yeah, to those that are thinking about us and wondering, hey, software I use just got bought. Is this a good horse to bet on? I hope that what we've said kind of resonates. I hope that what we've said is going to help you say, that's where I want to place my chips. That's how I'm going to vote with my dollars, because they're going to be the ones that are fighting for me. All right, so I can get off my high horse here, speaking of lofty visions, but I just want to make sure that everybody's very, very clear on where we are going as a company, what our intent is, what our values are, what our philosophies are, because I think that's at the root of all the decisions that we can now talk about, all those little micro decisions that we make day to day, week to week, quarter to quarter, of how the business plays out.
The values matter, and they're going to matter. I hope for inspectors that those values and alignment trumps their fear of change. You know, we've done so many demos over the years, and so many inspectors fear changing their templates and learning a new system. But like, I think there's a bigger narrative in play here, and I think it's worth everybody being educated about.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, we're not just trying to sell people on the lofty visions alone. We're still building the features. We're still saying, what do you need to make your business better? Okay, let's figure out how to build that. When we hear something that we think is going to benefit enough inspectors, let's build it. And hopefully let's build it in a way that's even better than what you're coming from. Let's build in a way that's going to save you more time. That to me is like how we keep improving the tools of this space. And even if we don't have that feature yet, I know there's a lot of folks that are trying to leave where they're at, but they're just like, yeah, that there's this like one thing that I think I need. We're having a lot of those conversations. A lot of those even really, really big companies are switching over and saying, oh, maybe there is a better way with Inspectora that I didn't think about that accomplishes the same goal. Or, hey, maybe it's okay to wait a few months because I know you guys are working on it, but I just don't want to keep voting with my dollars for the wrong side. And so if you feel like that, we encourage you to reach out, to give us a shot, and to see what we can do together.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs to be using client portal upsells. Like, there's certain features where I'm just like, I get greedy for our industry, for Spectora, for inspectors, to say, let's pull all of that money into inspectors' pockets to help, you know, us, to help us grow, to pay our people better. And so there's just so much commerce that I think we don't realize when you zoom out, that can and should be pulled into our industry. Cause right now it's kind of leaving our immediate industry to these bigger players, and they're trying to like suck in that commerce and money that's exchanging hands.
So let's talk a little bit about what we're doing as a business in 2023. I think when you talk about better people, I mean, we spent a lot of the last 6 to 9 months kind of right-sizing salaries on the team. I think that's something that, you know, our team members are appreciative of. I think it's something that our customers, if you're not already appreciative of the people on our team, you will be, because I think they're a phenomenal squad. We have high caliber, smart, driven people that are emotionally intelligent. They know how to connect. They know how to communicate. And as hopefully you all go to conferences and meet them, you'll see what it means to have just a top-notch team that's like their hearts are in it. And I think that's something that, you know, salary, company culture, those are the two biggest pieces to bring in folks that we want to have aboard.
Yeah, call me crazy, but I don't know if our industry has had the caliber of talent and people that we have been lucky to find, but also have incentivized. And if we had an inspector last week just say like, you guys could charge me double, just keep the people that give a shit, the people that are great to work with, keep them around and keep them happy. I'll pay you whatever. And that's the point. I think early on, people did not realize in our industry, when you pay more, you just might get more. And I think like, we can't take for granted the chat bubble, you know, 13, 14 of them that show up every damn day and help you guys. So I know a lot of inspectors listening get this, because most of you listening use us and you get this, but it's worth reiterating that like, we are mindful of that. And in tech, there's inflation, salaries go up, expectations go up. And so we got to keep pace with that, because we never want to degrade the service or the product. Like, we're on a path higher, and we have our vision, and we don't want to compromise on
it. 100%. Yeah. You know, and then we also incentivize our team members in other ways. You know, as they move into kind of leadership roles, there's often equity shares that come with that so that they are true owners of the company. We rolled out a like kind of team bonus structure where it's like, hey, we all achieve together. And people have been hyped, you know, our team's been hyped to see it. Like, it's spelled out. If we do these things as a company together, like, you and I, Kevin, are going to be very generous. Because to me, that's fair. To me, that's the kind of company we want to build, is like, we recognize that these are the folks that are doing great work day in and day out. And if we're growing as a company, it shouldn't just be you and I, because we started it. It should be everybody that feels the financial rewards that can come from a growing business. So I hope that everybody that uses us feels that as they interact with our team. That's something that we're really excited about, just like the team and the culture and how it's developing. We just signed a lease on an office again. Since, you know, we were in an office pre-COVID. After kind of COVID passed, we got just like a small WeWork space that we use for meetings, but we just signed a lease on an office here for those people that are located in Denver. We'll have kind of a more permanent home again, which is really cool. And I think essential to building some of those bonds of team camaraderie. What else are we doing this year?
You know, we built out an account management team for the first time in a true intentional way. So we have three folks, Stefan, Becky, Danny, that some of you, a lot of you will be hearing from, and they're meant to be your point of contact. And to tie it in with what Mike just said, of in-person allows for knowledge transfer quicker and deeper. And Mike and I are spending a ton of time with this team, teaching them the industry. You know, they're seasoned people though. They have skills from their past jobs, and they're just delightful people. And so that's exciting, because I think they're going to, one, keep everyone up to date, features, rollouts, releases. Some of our biggest companies sometimes didn't know, you know, like a certain action could make them, you know, $100 more per inspection. They're like, oh, I did not know that was a thing. But then also just to hear your feedback, because I think we're doubling down this year on listening to product feedback, building the features in the right way that make them more efficient, make them more money. And that takes touch points. We can't just, it's not just a survey. You guys all know that when you break something down to us, it takes one-to-one kind of listening.
Yeah, there's, you know, as much as Kevin and I would love to continue having the conversations with all our customers, with over 8,000 customers, that gets really, really impossible. And so this account management team, don't be surprised if they reach out and are just like, hey, we just want to hear how your business is doing. Are you getting the best value from Spectora that you can? Is Spectora helping you grow your business as much as possible? And what feedback do you have for us? And they'll be the point person. They'll know when to bring in product managers that can really understand how, you know, business workflow could be improved. They're going to be the ones that can relay whether it's like industry happenings, you know, kind of up to Kevin and I. So when we're making decisions, we make it into kind of knowing, hey, this is what's happening on the ground. And it's exciting to have this team. It's exciting to have the caliber of people that we have on the team. And we hope that everybody, utilize them, take advantage of that opportunity, essentially consider it, you know, kind of your direct line to us.
Yeah. And our product team has been hammering for years now to get, you know, we feel we've been at feature parity with iSEN. So people that wonder kind of where that's at, if you're using it, we have so many customers that are like, hey, it's better. You have all the features and some. And so that's a result, I think, of a lot of touch points from our product team over the years, our client success team, which we're making some changes there too. We're limiting the amount of chats each person can take. We're piloting this, but essentially it's a move for sustainability for the health of our team, because as many of you can probably surmise, like being on chat's hard when we have so many customers, and we have to make a move to allow them to not burn out. And I think that's limiting chats. So there could be slightly more wait times at peak hours, there could be wait times, but just know that that's a move for higher quality conversations and service. And it's a move to make sure our team is taken care of, because if they're not healthy, happy, feeling good about their job, they can't serve you. It's just going to degrade over the years. So sometimes I just wanted to be explicit about that, because I think it's not always clear why we do something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully that tighter focus lets you get, while you might have to wait a few minutes to talk to somebody, once you do, it gets resolved quickly. And you're not left kind of wondering, like, are they, you know, how many chats are they trying to manage at the same time?
Right.
Because I think we have people that are just wanting to do good work and not leave people hanging. And so they're trying to do a lot. And so by putting a limit and saying, hey, you can't keep taking on more chats into your queue until you wrap these up, I think it will just lead to some better outcomes overall. But let us know. Let us know what you think. We love hearing feedback on this. Everything, you know, the way we run our business, everything's an experiment. And we're open to change always. We don't presume to know the right answer. And if you guys let us know, hey, this new system, it ain't working, we're going to hear that. We're going to change. We're going to pivot again and figure out a better way to make sure it does work. What else is going on? I know, you know, on the engineering front, like, we've been focusing a lot on Spectora Advanced. We've talked about this in a past podcast, but it's worth reiterating. So we currently have three, we call them pods. Each pod is headed up by a product manager. They're the ones that talk to customers, kind of oversee the engineers in the pod and make sure that we're building stuff well and understanding the needs before we start building things. And so that's, so we have a pod that's always just focused on our core right now. And for, you know, the recent history, it's been on next gen. And next gen is getting really, really close. And we get this question at conferences all the time, like, when's next gen ready? And the answer is always, when it feels really good. And right now I think it's feeling really good. We're getting so close. We're you know, getting some of those edge cases knocked out. There's like certain devices and certain scenarios, you know, like there's a certain Samsung device using a certain keyboard that will create like extra spaces in a comment or something weird. And so let's make sure that it's the high quality, top-notch release, because we get it. We understand that this is what the inspectors use in the field every day, day in and day out. And we just want to make sure that it all feels like at least equivalent, if not better. And so it's getting really close. I think we'll be announcing here in the next couple of months a kind of date when it will become the mainline app and no longer kind of a beta thing to test out. So if you've been wondering if now's the time to beta test it, if now's the time to start training your guys, I would say yes. And let us know your feedback. So that's one pod. And then another pod is entirely focused on Spectora Advanced. And this is, you know, kind of in response to like popular demand. We are hearing from so many customers, I'm on ISN, I want to leave ISN. And here's a couple things that would make it just easier for me. And so we've been listening, we've been devoting so much in terms of resources to it, and we're going to make it to where it is the best scheduling and business management platform available. That's our promise to you. We will continue devoting these resources until we know that that is unequivocally the case. So that's what's going on in engineering world. And then, you know, we have a third pod and they're kind of devoted to like, what do we need beyond the core and advanced platform? And right now we're in beta on email, like kind of mass marketing. How do you stay in touch with agents? That's the talk of the town now because there's less transactions to go around. So every inspector really needs to stay on top of, you know, just being top of mind with agents. How do you make sure you're having the conversations and that when they do get that transaction, they call you up? And so we're in beta, if you, you know, right into a chat bubble, if you're interested in testing that, basically it allows you to send out newsletters, mass emails to your list. You can filter it. If you're using Spector Advance, you can filter it by tag. So if you only want to send it to new agents, if you only want to send it to agents that haven't used you in a while, if you only want to send it to your VIP investor buyers, you can do all of that and do it all within our platform as opposed to exporting a list or maintaining something, you know, in MailChimp. This is going to be all like all the tools that you need within one platform. So that's what we're currently working on. It's a lot, but because of that pod structure, we can do it all concurrently and keep it high quality with a PM and, you know, two or three engineers each.
I want to dispel two myths that are related to what you just said. So for one, just because we're working on advance, because of the pod structure, doesn't mean we're not improving the core platform. So like we've put out dozens of happiness features, what we call them, just for the core platform for everybody, whether you're on advanced or not. So like I've heard that before and I have to correct people and tell inspectors, no, you're wrong. I'm going to show you the list of things we've done to improve the app, core software. It's not just about advanced. But then on the other hand, we looked at numbers for advanced and saw something like 20 or 30% of solo inspectors use advanced because it helps them make more money through the upsell emails. So like we even thought it was only for multis and enterprise. And then over this last year, we learned a huge lesson that holy shit, these solos are making like 50, 60, 70 more per inspection on average dollars. That's powerful. That's like sustained, like, especially in these times, if you make another $50 to $100 per inspection, that might be the difference between keeping you in business. That might be the difference between still maintaining kind of your lifestyle. So that's not even a hard pitch at all for advanced. It's just more like, holy shit, this is helping everyone make more money. Amazing.
Yeah, we've gotten rave reviews, people that are coming from other places just saying like, yeah, just the ability to automatically upsell ancillary services alone makes it worth $3 an inspection, let alone all the other features that come bundled in that tool set. So,
and yeah, we want people to use it because it helps make us more money, which we can keep investing in the product. Like, you know, it's obvious when people are just like, oh, you're just working on that to make more money. It's like, well, it kind of helps you and it kind of helps us. We like win-win situations.
Definitely. What else is going on? What else is good to relay to everybody?
You know, there's, gosh, I'm trying to think what else. There's obviously, we mentioned with Porch acquiring ACC and RWS, so it's like multiple call centers. So there's a lot of inspectors scrambling to work with like VAs, like a Rocket Station or a Mira staffing. So that's kind of a hot button topic, that we're obviously listening in on intently because, we want to make sure we're aligning with like other companies and people that align with our values. And that's a topic for another day. But I think like, again, inspectors need to know every part of their business, the incentives.
Yeah. 100%.
Cool. I think that's good. I think it's good to wrap there. I think we covered a ton. We'll do this again. We do these like once every year. We need to do it more often.
We do. I mean, let us know if you're listening, if this is like interesting and useful. I know that it's not the usual content, but I love getting on here and just kind of being very transparent about what we are, what we're doing, and who we are as a company. I think it, you know, it's just ever increasingly more important right now in our space that, yeah, like you said, you're aligning with companies where your values match. Because again, future of the industry, it's in play right now.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. We'll see where it goes.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for hanging.
Thanks. Always good.
All right. Later.
See ya.